You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I tell you what, there's no greater sound to my ear than 1960s pop turned into a symphonic piece with something like that. Folks, yes, indeed, it is the show before Valentine's Day. James Edwards, Keith Alexander. What a great show it's been tonight. They're all great. This one's great, too. I was talking earlier about taking my little girl to the daddy-daughter Valentine's Day dance. We put a picture of it up on the website yesterday and on Twitter as well. My wife has a decorative piece in our den which reads, "The most important work you will ever do is within the walls of your home." I believe that's very true. Being a leader begins at home. And, of course, Keith, as we always say, we count members of TPC's listening audience as part of the extended family here, and it always brings us joy to be able to share snapshots with them from our lives. And of course, as the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6.
An ominous thought, thinking about what kids are picking up in government schools nowadays.
Now, that's the truth.
And private schools,
well, that's
too,
the
for
truth.
That matter.
And in churches, for that matter, in this day and age. So the premium you place on a solid mother and a father cannot be overstated.
But it's never been more important that you raise up your children. Don't allow your children to be raised up by daycare center workers or by teachers or by your churches or any other entity. God has given that responsibility to you, and if you don't discharge it, all of your labor will be in vain. If I can tell you as a father of three children that if my children had not turned out well, I don't care what else I accomplished
Amen.
In life, I'd feel like a failure.
Well, that's the whole thing, Keith. And that's why people say, you know, what's this have to do with the show? Well, I'll tell you. First of all, we're all family here, so there's that. But I think, Keith, people deserve to know the kind of people we really are. And the reality is of the way you've lived your life and the way I've lived my life is, of course, very different from the way that we're portrayed by dishonest so-called journalists and hateful left-wing organizations. The good men and women who are part of this community we've built here at TPC over the course of the last 15 years, we feel represent the very best. Our audience, Mr. and Mrs. TPC listener, represent the very best that America has to offer. And so we thank them at Valentine's Day and every holiday and every day in between for the love, care, and support that you continue to show us. Keith, there's one thing we haven't talked yet about tonight, and that is the response. Now, we have got three absurd headlines, three of the most absurd headlines you've ever heard covered on TPC. They're coming your way this hour. Sit tight, but there's one thing as part of house.
You can't make this stuff up, people.
As part of a little housekeeping thing, to be thorough, we haven't covered this yet, and if we don't cover it tonight, we're not going to cover it at all. The response from to the State of the Union from the Democrats. Now, they selected, of all people, Stacey Abrams, the failed gubernatorial, the obese black woman who failed. She won't fail again. If the Democrats,
they're going to push her to the top of the heap, even if it takes an industrial strength crane.
Now, what do we
lift her there?
And it might, having looked at her. But what do we call in the South when you put lipstick?
Lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. And I can understand why, looking at Stacey, you would that particular vision would come to your mind. But, you know, the idea the Democrats, this was, we never got around to it in the last hour because I mentioned it in passing, but Pat Buchanan said, have the Democrats given Trump a winning hand? They're doing it. First of all, they're promoting people like Stacey Abrams that are obviously not up to the task of being the chief executive of the United States of America. Secondly, they are doing things like coming full Monty out of the closet regarding abortion. You know, it used to be they said that they wanted abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. Well, now they've dropped rare altogether. They basically are, you know, like a bunch of ghouls and fiends celebrating the bloodlust of destroying life even after it has left the mother's body. This is, you know, this is beyond comprehension. If they think that America is behind them on that, and if there are Americans behind them on that, heaven help us. As somebody told me one time, if God doesn't judge America, then he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology.
Well, I got to tell you something about Stacey Abrams that I bet nobody has heard before. I would be surprised if anybody knows this, but we know it because we've got sources. I think it's safe to say that she hates white people. She hates white culture. Although she, like so many of her contemporaries, were helped along and babied by whites all of her life. White teachers helped her. White teachers helped her become a phony valedictorian of her high school. And like Obama, she was a quota girl at Yale. Whites helped her the whole way along. And is she grateful? No. She is furious with hatred. She concocts. This is the thing. Listen. She concocts these sob stories about the sufferings, her sufferings from white racism. One of these claims is that when she graduated valedictorian from her high school, she was supposed to go to a banquet honoring valedictorians at the governor's mansion. But they turned her away because she was black, and so she was not allowed into the governor's mansion.
They sent a limousine to pick her up if they knew she was black.
And who was the governor when this extraordinarily racist insult was given? The media never asks and is oh so careful to never mention, because the governor at the time was the supreme white renegade governor of Georgia, Zell Miller, a darling of liberal Democrats, the first man to demand the removal of the Confederate flag and the elimination of Confederate holidays, the first open advocate of quotas and reverse discrimination against white people.
Just the shows story, you can run, but you can't hide. If you're white, they will find something to crucify you on, regardless of how obscure it is. Now, this made-up tale about Stacey Abrams.
Well, this is the thing. That's the thing, Keith. The whole story, of course, is phony. That never happened about her not being allowed. And I mean, it's all phony, but she trots it out as part of her racist hatred of white people, and she never, never, never gets called on it.
Well, the truth of the matter is that she probably has an IQ of under 100, or at least right in that neighborhood. Maybe she got confused and couldn't find her way to the banquet. But, you know, this is really, you know, this is absurd.
Did you listen to her response? I mean, I didn't.
No, I heard some of it, and it sounded like she was trying to be goody-two-shoes. She was on her best behavior. She wasn't saying the inflammatory remarks that were reported during her gubernatorial campaign.
All right. But the fact, though, that they would even pick her.
Well, that tells you that she's the anointed ones. They have bigger and better things in mind for Stacey.
Well, she's going to be the governor of Georgia next election. She lost by a couple of thousand votes last time. The Republicans don't have it within them to stand up for their own people. They're not going to limit immigration, and she's going to win next time. That's just what's going to happen. We'll be right back.
Is alive and well in Georgia.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we promise you three of the most absurd stories you've ever heard, and we intend to deliver. Let's see if we can live up to the hype. Well, Keith, here they are. New article out by the BBC. Brand new. Scientists have finally figured it out, Keith. You'll be happy to know. European colonization of the Americas caused the climate change crisis. Listen to this. Colonization of the Americas at the hands of Europeans at the end of the 15th century killed so many people it disturbed the Earth's climate. And the theory here is, and this has been validated by scientists, don't you know, that Europeans killed so many Indians that the lack of carbon dioxide that they produced when they breathed caused the Little Ice Age. That's science, and that's news.
There's no one more dishonest than a modern scientist. If long they and theologians Russell Moore will say anything if they're paid enough.
What does a scientist and a Southern Baptist preacher have in common?
They're both for sale.
In all honesty, this is the new thing. This was published in a new scientific journal. This is what they're saying: the great dying of indigenous peoples of the Americas led to the abandonment of cleared land that the resulting terrestrial carbon uptake had an impact on climate and temperatures.
Look, there are only a million people, indigenous people, in the Western Hemisphere at the most. At the age of exploration. At least that's what they said until it became politically incorrect to say that. But How does that, if a million people, if we'd wiped out every man jack of them when they were over here, okay? Just think about this. How does that compare with the 36 million people killed by the Soviet regime during its tenure in Russia?
But this is the,
what about all the millions of people, 6 million or plus more people that were killed by Chairman Mao's Cultural Revolution?
More people died at the, more whites died at the Battle of Stalingrad than died at the hands of European with disease and war and anything else that our people did when conquering.
I'll tell you what the problem in the world today is. World War I and World War II was a great kill-off of white people. And without the numbers that we used to have, we used to be 25% of the world's population. Now we're 10% and going down. That's where the real problem is regarding racial disparities in death rates and whatnot. And the idea that, you know, this idea that they, that it's almost as absurd as the next two things
we're
that we have.
To the next two. But listen to this, folks. So they're saying that Europeans killed so many people that caused the little ice age in the 1500s. What do you think the Indians were doing to each other before we got here? They were ripping each other's hearts out. They were killing each other. They were genociding one another. And what do you think was going on in Africa? I mean, we don't know because the whites weren't there to record their history.
Well,
but I guarantee you there wasn't peace.
In the past 20 years, you had, over 70% of the Tutsi tribe killed by the Hutus in Rwanda and whatnot. And this was over 100,000 people. You know, where do they get these figures? And furthermore, I thought the leftists told us that the numbers, the great numbers of people was the reason we have all these climate problems, you know. And
yeah, I thought, yeah.
Yeah, you know, apparently, you know.
Well, the Indians didn't drive cars, so they were okay.
Well, cows passing gas, for example, was a big problem. You know, mammals living, and human beings are mammals, I guess, officially. I thought that was the problem, not too many of us dying off.
Now,
you know, get your story straight, Left. Please try to tell us what's going on here.
Brand new story for the BBC, and they interviewed these scientists, don't you know?
They will say anything if they have some banker or, you know, establishment person grease their palm. In fact, that's what
as long as whites can be proven to be bad, the bad guy in a story, they'll come up with any story they can.
Also,
I got another one for you.
Well, here, first of all, let me make this last comment. They are always going to be for sale. In fact, you know, that's why all this stuff about climate change. Why is the scientific community saying that climate change is real? Because if they don't say that, they're not going to get their grants and they're not going to be able to live, you know, have their front feet in the trough and make big money.
All right. So we just gave you that story about how European colonization of the Americas caused climate change crisis.
The great kill off of indigenous people.
How about this one? Because they were peace loving environmentalists before we got there. They weren't doing the same thing to one another at all. But how about this one, Keith? Now, this was from a couple of years ago, but it was news to me because I just found out about it this week. So maybe it'll be news to you too. This is this was a big story back around 2007, and some black Congress people got on board and was really trying to.
Hank Johnson, I think.
No. The Hank Johnson, that's the next story. But okay. This one is the other one. I want an authentic reaction to this story, Keith. The story is that migratory patterns of sharks in the Atlantic Ocean were forever changed by the slave trade.
Pray tell, how is this?
Well, officially, the ships didn't follow the same routes as the sharks'
migratory patterns,
and they started following the ships, and for the last 500-600 years, they haven't been able to figure it out.
Well, apparently, this is just like Peter Pan in the crocodile. You know, the crocodile bit off Captain Hook's hand, and it was so tasty that he spent the rest of his life following Captain Hook's ship around. So apparently, black people were so tasty to sharks that they forget about all the white people that have been lost overboard and in sinking ships and whatnot. And they're just trying to find those tasty morsels of black people that were on apparently being jettisoned at high rates in the slave trade.
Now, you know that they always say it's pseudoscience to claim that Asians and Jews and whites and blacks have different talents and abilities and IQs. So that's pseudoscience. But what's real science is colonization caused climate change, and sharks have never been able to figure it out since the slave trade because the ships got them off kilter. And for 600 years, they've just been out of whack. What about all the cruise ships? There's more cruise ships that launch every year than the sum total of all the ships that ever sailed in the 1400s.
I guess I'm encouraged to find out that sharks had such great taste that they preferred black people over white.
Yeah, at least they're not racist. So there's that. And then, of course, Keith, I'll save this one for the next segment, but a little bit more on what's going on in the scientific world.
Look, the scientific world is for sale. These people live on government grants. They live on private sector grants from big companies that are infected with political correctness. So consequently, they had better come down on the politically correct side of every issue, or else they will not be funded.
And what happens to a scientist? What happens to a scientist if he doesn't? What happened to James Watson, probably the greatest living scientist of our time, the greatest scientist that is still alive, the most accomplished scientist still living? And he told the truth about race. All he did was crack the DNA code. He told the truth about race, and they stripped him of all of his titles, all of his
prestige. It's like Stalinist Russia, where they scrubbed out the image of people that were liquidated. They became non-persons. That's what they've tried to do to Dr. Watson. He is now stripped of all of his honorary degrees, all of his honors, and his retirement stipend because he wouldn't kowtow to the left.
We'll be back. A couple of more segments to come on our Valentine's Day special, TPC.
Daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump tweets his second summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un is set for the 27th and 28th of February in Hanoi. He says, quote, "I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim and advancing the cause of peace." There are calls for impeachment for Virginia's lieutenant governor.
I believe these women. He needs to resign immediately. Should the lieutenant governor fail to do so, on Monday, I intend to introduce articles of impeachment.
Patrick Hope, Democratic member of Virginia's House of Delegates. Two women have now come forward to accuse Justin Fairfax of sexual assault. Meanwhile, Virginia's embattled governor, Ralph Northam, is refusing to step down and says he is done defending his past after a racist photo was found on his med school yearbook page. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Washington Governor Jay Inslee has declared a state of emergency as the Pacific Northwest deals with a pounding snowfall. Meteorologist Eric Van Dam.
Some of the snowfall totals in and around Seattle have topped over a foot. This is outside of the city center of Seattle, by the way, but the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport set a daily record snowfall event yesterday, 6.4 inches. The last time they saw over 8 inches was back in 1990.
The same storm is expected to drop up to 5 feet of snow on the mountains in Northern California and Southern Oregon. The snow forced the cancellation of hundreds of flights in the Northwest. Congressional bargainers continue their effort toward a border security deal amid indications the White House is preparing to accept a bipartisan deal that would give President Trump much less money than he wants for a border wall. Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley.
He does want a border wall. He does want border security. He wants to protect the American people.
This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way. Girl to hold in my arms and know the magic of her charms, 'cause I want a girl to call my own. I want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone.
God help me, I love that music, Keith. I mean, Bobby Darin, Dream Lover, it just doesn't get much better than that.
Late 50s, early 60s was the
Halcyon days. It was the Halcyon. I mean, we'd already lost the war. America was never going to be the same, but even after having lost the war, America was still so good, so innocent, so pure all the way through the 50s, at least so it seemed.
Into the early 60s, it was the Indian summer of Western civilization.
That's a great way to put it. I like the way you put that, Keith. But does music get any better than what you just heard, Bobby Darin,
well,
Dream Lover?
Pop music, you know, music probably gets better, but pop music doesn't, that's for sure.
All right, folks. Well, again, one last time, happy Valentine's Day from all of us here at TPC. We do truly love our dear family of listeners. Let's go back to the Bible for a definition of what love is. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8 tells us that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We love you, folks.
Well, for the benefit of all the men out there, why don't you announce right now when Valentine's Day is coming up? We'll do that as a public service, because heaven help any man that forgets what day Valentine's
Day. Well, if you don't know, it's February 14th, and that's a Thursday this year. So that's this coming Thursday, if you needed to know. Anyway, okay, so we're covering some absurd stories. So we've already talked in the last segment that European colonization of the Americas caused climate change, and sharks for the last 600 years have never been able to figure out their migratory patterns because of the slave trade. Now, we've covered this story before, but Congressman Hank Johnson, during a congressional hearing...
Black congressman from Georgia.
Right? Yes, and he was talking with an admiral in the Navy, and he said he was concerned about the situation, I believe it was in Haiti, that if too many people lived on one side of the island, that Haiti would tip over as if this island was floating, as if this island was a weight scale. If you put too much weight on one side, it would tump over. And the admiral, this white admiral, when listening to that nonsense, this is coming from one of the most powerful men in the world, a United States congressman, instead of laughing in his face and saying, how in the hell did you ever get into a position like you're in? He had to take it seriously. He said, well, congressman, you know, we don't actually see the scenario that you describe as being likely. Come on, people. This is okay. So the scientific community, the religious community, the governmental community, they are... Is there anyone more dumb than the people we're talking about here, Keith?
What if Richard Spencer or somebody had said that? I mean, they would be hooting and hollering and howling.
There ain't no way anybody out of second grade would ever believe that if you put too many people on one side of a landmass, that the landmass would tump over.
Well, I don't believe it was Haiti. I believe it was some island
Guam?
In the Pacific.
Yeah, okay, maybe Guam. I think it might have been Guam.
Something like that. But nonetheless, you know, the floating island theory was a new one to me and most everybody else. You know, this is, it's almost like a joke, you know, about,
but the admiral took it seriously. Like, you know, congressman, I don't see that being a problem.
What is a joke is that you have to take things like that seriously and entertain that type of idiocy.
Become a congressman.
Yeah. And then the rest of us have to pretend that this man is not a fool, and he's obviously a fool.
And he's a leader in this godforsaken country. But I got to go back to something we heard during the break. You know, we were listening to the commercials during the break, and we got these bottom of the hour news updates that get imported in, and they were talking about the situation with Justin Fairfax. Now, that's the lieutenant governor, and it was Guam. I said Haiti. But Justin Fairfax, now that's the lieutenant governor of Virginia. So he's getting Me Too'd. And you heard that the other person there in Virginia said, you know, we got to believe the woman. What is this bogus nonsense about believing the woman every time, especially in this age of Me Too, where most of them turn out to be false? And in fact, in the Kavanaugh hearings, you even had one of the women say, hey, I just made it up, you know, because I wanted to hurt him. I'll tell you this, though. Justin Fairfax, whatever the allegations are against him and whatever modicum of blowback he's gotten in the press as a radical black Democrat, it pales in comparison to what Roy Moore suffered. What was the charge against Roy Moore? He said hello to an 18-year-old girl in a mall, and he signed another girl's yearbook, and that's like he raped him? It's according to the press, it totally disqualified him. But this Justin Fairfax, I mean, he's getting a little bit of blowback because they have to, because women are almost replacing blacks on the diversity totem pole. I tell you what, I could straighten this country out real quick if you put me in charge, I tell you that.
Well, look, if it's anti-male, then that's wonderful. Yeah, that puts it to the head of the class.
Even if it's a black male, they'll sacrifice the random black male, just like they sacrificed Harvey Weinstein. They'll sacrifice one of their own every now and then for the greater good.
Well, they are very upset that the people that are primarily falling prey to the Me Too movement are Jewish and black, as opposed to white Gentiles. Roy Moore was the white Gentile scalp on their belt. And, of course, they totally disregard what the prevailing mores of the community were in the rural South back in the early 60s.
Where it was very common for someone in their late 20s, early 30s to marry a teenager, and it wouldn't be to me, it's not inappropriate now.
Well, look, for anybody that doubts the veracity of what we're telling you, I would recommend that you check out at Netflix the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's with George Peppard and Audrey Hepburn. Buddy Ebsen has a cameo in there. The name that Audrey Hepburn, who plays this high-priced call girl in New York, goes by is Holly Golightly. Well, how did she get that name? Her real name was Ida Sue Barker, it turns out, at least in the context of the story, and her husband, Doc Golightly, played by Buddy Ebsen, you know, the guy that played Jed Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies, comes up on the bus trying to persuade her to come back home. He says he married her when she was going on 14. He apparently was a widower, had 4 children, and he was a prosperous guy probably in his late 40s, early 50s, and he married a teenager, okay? Well, look, that may sound horrible to today's sensibilities, but it was not unheard of in the rural South. He was supposedly from Texas back in the day. In fact, they used to have a joke when I was growing up. It said, what do they call a 16-year-old girl in Arkansas? And the answer was middle age. Okay.
Well, one thing that needs to be said is that, you know, if you're talking about an 18-year-old girl and a man in his late 20s, especially back in Roy Moore's time in the 50s, women were much more mature than they are now.
Look at a high school annual, and you'll see these high school seniors that look like they're 40 years old. It's incredible, you know? I don't know. Thing is, you cannot judge historical figures by current standards. Current standards have changed so radically and so fast that there is no way that anybody from a prior age is going to pass muster by today's standards.
I don't mind saying this. My gut instinct is, in this case, just knowing Me Too, he probably hates me, and I probably disagree with him on every issue, but just not knowing any of the details, if I had to choose one to believe or the other, you know, another Me Too scandal of afflicting this lieutenant governor of Virginia is probably bogus.
Well, look, I do know that feminist psychologists get their female patients believing this type of malarkey, saying.
But if they get scorned, if they ever get scorned in a relationship, that it had to be rape or it had to be.
There's some reason that their life has turned out unsatisfactorily. All these unhappy women, the desperate housewives or divorced ex-housewives of the suburbs want to know why they're not as happy as they thought they should have been when they were 20 years old. Well, they've got this all-purpose excuse. Some man did you wrong.
And it wasn't their fault that they chose to live their life in an office cubicle as opposed to doing it as God intended and raising kids.
Or divorced a perfectly good husband to go chase after some daddy-o who wouldn't marry them, and then they wind up with lesser man in their life or no man at all, and they are the last place people want to look for when they try to find out why they are unhappy is to look in the mirror and look at themselves.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, we've covered a lot of ground tonight, Keith, and we still got a little more ground to cover in the last segment of the evening. Jack Ryan, he wasn't on the show last week. He was traveling back the night of the program from his month-long stay in South Carolina to frigid Chicago. We're going to see how he's adjusted to being back home in the next segment as we wrap it all up. Stay tuned, everybody.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right. All the big podcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talk with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today.
Thanks to Colt. Let's get on with the last segment of tonight's live broadcast. So as I said, last week, Jack Ryan was unavailable for his normal duty because he was traveling back from South Carolina to frigid Chicago. So we're going to get Jack on the line right now and see how he has adjusted to his time. I think he was a little depressed, to be honest with you, Keith.
The Hulk. The Hulk, that's what they call the wind blowing off of Lake Michigan. See how he has coped with the Hulk.
We're going to figure it out, but I think he was a little depressed after having traveled back from the South to Chicago. We're going to find out here in just a minute. And I think, you know, he went back to Hilton Head, so he didn't run into many Southerners down there. You know, they're colonizing South Carolina. These snowbirds really invade the South.
Well, you know what they call Cary, North Carolina in the Golden Triangle?
What's that?
They say Cary is an acronym for Collection Area for Relocated Yankees.
No, we can't do that. Let's find out from Jack himself. Jack, good evening and happy Valentine's Day, my friend. You're back. You're back in Chicago. Tell us. I was letting people know you were traveling back last week, and so you were unavailable for your normal duty on the show. But tell us about your trip, your post-mortem.
Your peregrinations.
Yes, indeed. Being back in Chicago, the whole thing, and then some recommendations in any way you want to go.
Sure. Well, I'm back just outside of Chicago. I still do business in the city and the like. It's a really nice night. It's like 20 degrees. It's cold, no wind. I actually like the winter, not the 25 degrees below zero. I wasn't here for that one. And these idiot leftists, global warming, I want to curse and say the things, but they'll never admit that they were wrong. So they try to say that global warming has caused 25 degrees zero wind chills of 50 degrees below zero because global warming caused some kind of polar vortex or something. So these guys are such terrible liars. But
James just did a story. We covered a story where some British scientists are saying that a mini ice age was brought on by Europeans killing off indigenous people in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, so that's what the BBC reported, Jack.
All of us, we changed nature. We have supernatural powers. And I'll never admit that they're wrong. Just spin it. It's not global warming anymore. It's climate change. So, yeah, in Chicago, the climate changes. We have four seasons. The winters are brutally cold. It's nasty spring. Summers are hot. The fall is the one nice season. So kind of came back. But I'm doing okay after. I had a bad month in Hilton Head, South Carolina. I got off the island a little bit for really good church services, Southern people and traditional, no bad politics, almost stuff. But the Atlantic coast has been colonized, taken by these Massachusetts, Connecticut, like snowbird. They've taken over the place. They're not communists. They're not inciting blacks to riot, but they're just not fun people. They're not Southern people, and I hated it. I'd rather be back outside of Chicago with the murder and mayhem and stuff than these Connecticut snowbirds. They took it over. So yeah. So I'm not, you know, like there, but I'm doing okay. And I'm taking up salsa lessons. And I did this once before where I made recommendations. I highly recommend that our young men take up partner dancing because if you do that, girls, women love to dance. And there's always way more women. You get good at dancing. You won't have to worry about getting a date, and there's not a lot of talking. Like Elvis said, a little bit of conversation, a little more action. So I've taken up salsa. Great first hand, so things are going pretty good.
Well, good. You know what they call Cary, North Carolina, which is in the Golden Triangle? They say it's an acronym that stands for Containment Area for Relocated Yankees. So apparently you found another place like that.
Yeah, they are. But then, boy, I didn't. My trip to Charleston, I went to one area. It was a very black area, and I went to an old church that's been there for like 200 years. It was all Southern. Southern businessman was running it, and it was good gospel music. But Charleston, South Carolina, they're downgrading everything Confederate. The Fort Sumter was closed. The Confederate History Museum, it's small. It's kind of nice, but that place, it's just populated by yuppies from Boston, and it just looks like Boston. Good-looking people. They look on the Patriots, the place, but they're driving out the Southern people black and white, and I didn't like it. It wasn't good.
Come because of the bad tax policy and things like this that drive them out of places like New York, but they bring their politics with them, unfortunately, and that's why we're having things phenomenal like we have in Memphis where the Confederate statues are coming down, for example.
Yeah. They're there. But I had a good time in Savannah. I went to a hockey tournament. It's Southern schools. Now, their hockey teams are not big-time teams like basketball or football, but they're clubs. But it was quite good, and the crowd was nice, working class. And I really think that we should promote hockey in the South, college, but also minor league hockey. The NHL teams do pretty good. Used to be.
Well, liberalism is responsible again for that. You know why they have club hockey for boys and not intercollegiate hockey? The same reason they don't have intercollegiate gymnastics. It's Title IX.
Well, it's Title IX, but I just think if hockey gets to become the second biggest sport in the South, Title IX will go away. People have it. So promote hockey, let our guys play, and hockey is an international European sport. So these people are saying, oh, the Russians are taking over. When they have an international hockey tournament, the best teams, youth teams, are Canada, Russia, Sweden. Sweden has bad politics, but the hockey
Finland
teams are Swedish, so it's good. So I think I highly recommend our listeners support hockey, get into college hockey. You see a college hockey Final Four and stuff there from North Dakota and Maine. The young women in the audience look wholesome. They're not doing – there's some women's hockey feminist stuff, but most of it, it's a good sport. And I think it's something we need to get involved with, and I think that's going to work for us.
Jack, when you were in Charleston, though, just to be clear, we only have a couple of minutes remaining, and I want to get to your recommendations as well if you have any tonight. Everything was kind of on the fly this evening. But you did go to a Confederate History Museum. There is still an actual Confederate History Museum that you can go to and visit. How was that?
Yeah, it is. It's nice. I mean, it's small. It's like a two-story building, and there's also just a Charleston History Museum. Nice folks. And the second floor there, wow, the gals, there was two gals running the Confederate History Museum. And it was just nice, really, really, really good folks. So, yeah, they're still there. But they're just trying to downgrade Confederate stuff like that. But that's still there, that they'd have. And, yeah, I would recommend, highly recommend that.
All right, Jack, so recommendations. Let's go. You got about a minute left if you got any book, movie, or you weren't
really
able to pick
quick
the song tonight because that was already pre-programmed.
I didn't get to do my music. But my movie recommendation is Martin Scorsese's Taxi Driver. It's very much hits close to home. It's a regular guy. It's in New York City, and there's corruption, particularly prostitution. And he's upset, and he tries to rescue a girl, a nice girl, Jodie Foster, from prostitution. She ends up killing her pimp. Something that I can relate to, something that I would do. The book recommendation is Edwin Gibbon's The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's like 6 or 7 volumes. I got them all here. I don't recommend you try to read all 7 volumes. Do parts of it. And he was a little bit sickly. He read a little bit too much. He just got into every part of that time of the Roman stuff. He ended up being anti-Christian. He felt it corrupted the Roman Empire. But if you can get bits and parts of it, I thought it was good. But those are my recommendations. Taxi Driver, Martin Scorsese, they're sort of an Italian-American small group in Hollywood. that makes good movies. And they're not our people, but they don't have this Talmudic hatred of our people like these Ashkenazis do. So I recommend Taxi Driver.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever get to see Tammy and the Bachelor?
You were telling me the other ones. I looked.
The other ones are no good.
I just thought it was too much of a chick flick, to be honest with you. It was a little bit too much.
Well, no. Did you actually watch Tammy and the Bachelor?
Not the whole.
Okay, I've got another one for you. Santa Fe Trail, about Southerners as the good guys. John Brown is the bad guy.
As it was in real life. Hey, Jack, thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Support our work. Good night, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day from James Edwards and crew.